person I'm going to introduce next, for she was everywhere in the convention, or in the campaign in 1965 and 66. I want you to welcome and greet and show your affection for Mary Kelly. People who stood tall in the legislative process and who will always be remembered for the integrity and the leadership they brought to their positions. Aubrey Durham, Majority Leader of the House, and Stanley Holmquist, Majority Leader of the Senate. Legislators here, they would ordinarily be dignitaries in their own rights in almost any political gathering, but tonight they get introduced en masse because they are dignitaries among a host of dignitaries. Would the legislators, past and present, in our midst, please stand up and let us welcome you. Among that distinguished group. Now there are a couple of other people who are in attendance here that I'd like you to say hello to. One of them is Barb Sikora, and Barb has been active in politics 4 years than her looks will tell you. Somewhere here is Jim Lindau, Mayor of Bloomington. A man aspiring to other offices. Now, let's see, I have a letter here, and I had everything all put together. Here we go. This letter from Congressman Frenzel, who says, "Dear class of 1966, congratulations on your reunion. I know it will be a smash. 2 decades of additional maturity will make the evening even better. Ruthie and I wish we could be with you to wallow in nostalgia and to celebrate with old friends the memory of a time when politics was fun. The recollections have dimmed a bit, but we can still remember. May your best friends all be present, your reminiscences reasonably accurate, your cake always full, your stories funny, and your navels red." Somewhat in charge in 1966, there was one lousy political idea that I was not able to contain, and that was that silly red naval idea of Bob Stassen. But I want to publicly tell Bob that I have finally forgiven him. Or someone came up to me tonight and said that was just the right touch of humor, and that was the beginning of my movement from one of the other candidates to Harold Evander. So, Bob, before this whole assembly, I want to say to you, I am no longer mad about it, and I'm worried.
About time.
young lawyer determined to stay with the practice of law and not become involved in the silly running around the conventions pleading for the votes of delegates when there were many more important things to be done, more money to be made, etc., etc. I'll leave it to your judgment as to who won that discussion. My privilege and pleasure to introduce the man that I came to know in that office and have kept to love since, Senator David Turner.
Except for Shirley Borgerding.
Jerry Olson, who managed managed his whole team to an incredible victory, then had to move to South St. Paul. As soon as Earl left office, went to work for Tilbury. Gary Blackney's fishing stories, especially the ones with Carl Robog in them. Riley Glevy, who kept me out of the Levander campaign from July to November by filing for the state senate at the last minute. Mary Kelly and Fallon, who provided the extra special friendship that every political family needs. The lessons of the campaign, the lessons that bring all of us here together tonight, are two. One is family. Family in the largest sense, and they're all here tonight, Darrell. You know that well, and a lot of them couldn't be here. Family in the immediate sense, family, the classmates, the neighbors, the town, the Earl Jennies from South St. Paul who never did a political thing in his life. All of that is what's so special about Harold Levander and the Levander family kind of politics. And the second is that. And if there is a difference in politics between politicians, it is their sense of ethic. And it is the sense that they exude to everybody who works for them and everybody around them. And I learned my sense of political ethic, as many other people did, from Harold Levander. And the sense that you're honest all of the time, and that it is that honesty which is either going to make it or break it, depending on how things go. But there is a great value in that honesty in politics. And it is, to our regret, everybody in this room, that we had that example for the people of the state of Minnesota for only 4 years. A great pleasure to have been part of your family for so long. Thank you.
Terrific. Harold, get that billboard. You're going to see it soon. As he always did, he went down to the office, and Mabel assembled his mail in the law office before he went out on the campaign trail. So at 6 o'clock every morning, he was down to the office, going through his mail before Rocky picked him up. And this particular morning, the artists were at work. There was a magnificent billboard, Levander for Governor. And Harold looked out of his office, and he suddenly, in horror, God! And he rushed to the phone, and one of his loudest voices said, "Jerry, my God, they've got a high E." And I said, "Are you Mark? Who the hell is in charge?" And I said, "I'm the manager." And he said, "You've got a high E. It's L slow E." "Don't worry about it, Harold. We'll fix it." So off he went with Rocky and out into the wilderness again, and Jerry fixed the South St. Paul billboard. But that afternoon, he called me and said, "Jerry, I'm out here meeting thousands of people that have no brochures." I said, "They're right behind me. Don't worry." So, you know, the ad agency called me and said, "Jerry, 24 hours, we'll get brochures." God. He called me and said, "They're ready." I said, "Buy 1,000 brochures. Harold and Rocky are in the booth. Get them over to the car and..." Guess what? I eat. So again, the voice now is from Phil Walker. And he called me and said, "Jerry, my God, you're trying to make a Frenchman out of me." He said, "It's Swedish, Jerry, it's Swedish." And he said, "You single-handedly are going to lose this campaign if you somehow don't realize that I am Swedish. Don't worry about it, Harold. We're moving on." Somehow we got the brochures out and the buttons and the heralders and the campaign roll off and came victory night, and what a great, great memory. And then for a very brief period of my time with the Landers, I spent some time in the legislature. And my job was to kind of move around with it from time to time. I'll never forget this evening, we're heading on Southern Minnesota with me and Mankato, and now Governor Levander and myself are heading down, and I had a number of pieces of legislation that I had to have in review. We were going into the second district. We met our friend Tom Wilson, and he flew down with us, and away we went and gave the speeches and so forth. We're heading back. Harold had on in the plane, twin engine, beach craft, I might add, National Guard, finest aircraft. And we're flying as we're heading back, cold winter night, January. The governor has on his finest straw hat. And he's smoking the best cigar available in the world. And sitting on his lap is the state visits. And I'm sitting across from him, and we're reviewing step by step some of the most significant things that were happening in our world at that time. And suddenly, this beach craft, the door popped open at 8,000 feet, cold winter night. And as every governor who has his priorities straight, Harold, exactly what you would expect, he grabbed his hat and said, "Southern Minnesota was some of the state's most important." And then I was on, after that very brief year, I was on to some other things. I was taken to New York to create the spontaneous staff for Rockefeller. So as I'm in New York, and every time I would come back to Minnesota, the press obviously fascinated with Nelson Rockefeller's candidacy, and every time I was back in the state, they would write, "No, Rockefeller campaign manager, et cetera, et cetera, former Levander aide." And Harold at that point had not made up his mind. He was totally uncommitted. But yet every time he came back, I went primarily to see my family from time to time, the press would pick up former Levander aide, now campaign manager Nelson Rockefeller. And finally, after many, many weeks of being uncommitted but reading the newspaper, Harold finally called me. His voice was a little lower now at this point. And he said, "My God, Jerry, when do you stop being a former Levander?" And my answer, ladies and gentlemen, and Harold, will be tonight, the same as it was then. I am extremely proud to be among the former Levander aides. Thank you for asking.
taking on Joe Donovan. Patty's and my memories are fresh with the wonderful associations we made with so many warm and talented people during and after the campaign. Please give our love to Harold and Iantha. We wish we could be with all of you, Bill and Patty O'Brien. This letter comes from Valdemar. You'll all remember. And Heidi Stoller. Dear friend, I'm sorry to miss an interesting anniversary, but it is unfortunately not possible to join you on this occasion. The 1966 campaign is a memorable one, viewed from this vantage point of 20 years. Republicans, weakened nationally, were regaining strength in the state in 1966. The party had exercised national leadership, has exercised national leadership now for a time, but its expanded strength at the state level is the critical need. 1986 is being rated as a year of opportunity for our party. Prospects are truly promising. Their attainment calls for our best efforts. Vigor and unity will lead us to victory now and in the future, just as they have so often in the past. With cordial good wishes, Val Bjornson. I have one other letter here that I think I should read at this moment if I can lay my hands on it. This letter is addressed to the ticket plus one, and I think you'll understand when you hear what it's from. Dear Bob, Harold, Iantha, Jim, Doug, Bill, Val, PK, and Frank. No one, especially a politician, likes to miss an evening in the best of company, particularly when the political memories and stories will be at their peak. I'm truly sorry that I can't be with you tonight. The occasion of your reunion is sure to inspire recollections of leadership and ability second to none in Minnesota's history. I congratulate each of you. You were and are terrific. My best wishes. Have a super evening. Cordially, Rudy Boschwitz, United States Senator. I want you at this time to greet Jean Peterson, PK's wife. And to welcome a member of the ticket, PK Peterson.
One evening I got a call from these railroad cars, railroad wheels. And I had, of course, to stand with my leg up because the pain was quite intolerable. That was one memory I had from 1966. The other one that stood out as being rather amusing was the time that I was to meet my opponent, whose name was Yungo. Actually, he was a Yungo about three or four times removed, but Luther Yungo. And we got to the Duluth Central High School in the evening, and he disappeared from the platform, which, of course, was some concern of the people who were ready to meet. And so I got out to make what presentation I had in mind to make, and all of a sudden he came onto the platform too. And I leaned over and I said, "What happened to you?" "Well," he said, "I forgot my speech down at the hotel, so I left here to go get it and come back." Now, that was 20 years ago. Seems more like yesterday, and it would seem that way, but for the fact that looking over the group here, all of us have met others that we knew at that time. We have indeed grown older, but I think wiser. And that's why it's a pleasure for me to join the others here in celebrating this 20th anniversary.
I can't tell you your no votes, I can't tell you why. said, oh, you got it. I said, Adolf, talk to the guy again and at least let me know I didn't know what. So we got up into a hotel room. The county chairman emptied the room. Nobody, just the two of us. And he said, well, he said, I've talked to some of the guys. And he said, I've learned that you're controlled by Chicago.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't look out here and say that, you know, the leadership that a people receive at any given period in time reflects the people who care enough to go out and elect the people. And if you're proud of what you had in the Levander years, just look around across the table to the people sitting across from you. Look at the table next to you. That's why there were people like Staff King, who isn't with us tonight, that were on the ticket and were pillars of the Republican Party in those days. That's what made the great memories. You were the people that made those memories possible. Say, I wanted you to know that this, just before we came up here, down in the lobby, I took a little poll about the present governor. I admit it's not all that scientific. But three of the five people preferred him when he was traveling. Four of the five preferred him when he was at CDC. Five out of five preferred him when he was a dentist in Hibby.
Gail's the guy really that got that airplane off the ground. We had a meeting about 2 weeks before the election, and he says, you know, by God, he says, the money's coming in. So we took that Northwest jet, and I'll always remember coming into Alexandria. How many from Alexandria? Hank, you're here. Fine. Beautiful, beautiful day, just before election, the last weekend. The sun was shining, the temperature was very great. We came in, and we looked out, and there were literally thousands of cars. Thousands of them waiting for that thing. And of course, I knew why they were there. They didn't care much about foresight. They wanted to know whether that damn plane was going to land. And we did. And then I would like to introduce tonight my daughter Polly and her husband Randy Johnson, who is the late back county commissioner for them. Supported both Mary and myself throughout the years, Nick and Rosa Milton. Nick, Rosa? But I had to have a press secretary. They told me I had to have somebody. I couldn't write my own stuff. It wasn't good enough. So they were all taken. My God, the banner had everybody. There wasn't anybody left. And so I interviewed a young reporter from the St. Paul Pioneer Press and Dispatch. Turned out to be one of the best, finest political secretary, press secretaries in the state of Minnesota, one who's admired by everybody. Bob Hinckley is here, and Bobby Hinckley, would you stand up? And the lady that I love and respect and admire, the lady who had to say no to so many fine people in the state of Minnesota, this past session of the legislature as chairman of the Appropriations Committee, and she did it with dignity, she did it with grace, she did it with class. And that's Mary Forsythe, state representative from the governor. So I talked with Mary, and I had to decide between Worthington and Turkey Day and welcoming Bobby Kennedy. I had to decide whether or not it was going to be Mankato State when I welcomed Bobby Kennedy the second time. I had to decide whether it was a press club in Minneapolis when I welcomed Bobby Kennedy the third time. Every time Mondale was with him. Or whether, it was some of the other fascinating parts of the campaign, but then finally Mary said, tell them about Wolog. How many of you in this room know where Wolog, Minnesota is? Let's see your name. That's fine. That's more than I expected. Wolog is a stop on the road. Up north of Minnesota, near Moorhead. We had State Representative Merlin Bauer, who was on my team up there. And he said, Forsythe, you got to come to Wolog. There's a big parade up there. Well, I love parades. And so I could envision in my mind and fantasize the parade. The convertibles, the bands, the freeze, people lining the road, and the calling for Forsythe in the United States. I said, I'll take that invitation. So we planned a whole series of events for that weekend. There was to be Roll-Off. There was a party the night before for a fundraiser. And then there was going to be a football game at Concordia College, and then a big dinner down at Fergus Falls, and then I was going to Alexandria to appear on television. What a day! Tailor-made for a candidate. So the day of Omar came, the parade. The first thing that happened was I was told by Mike campaign manager, you'd be in the motel lobby at 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, yes, sir.
I'll be there.
At 6, I was there. Nobody else. At 6:30, the campaign manager strolled.